Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Thursday. It's Friday Eve, and it is hot as a motherfucker out here in New York City. Holy Toledo. I went two blocks, of course, to get some ice from the bodega, and by the time I got back, I was melted. I hope everyone's staying safe wherever they are in this heat wave that's seemingly hit a lot of the country already. I guess we're just catching up here in New York, but my God, stay safe out there. You'll hear the fan that I've got going here in the background. I apologize for a bit of the noise, but necessary on these days where I have to shut the door. Got no AC in this room where I do my studio stuff, and my goodness, it is a hot box in here. So sorry for the noise there from the fan. And speaking of the fan, I had a couple emails asking me about the movement that you can see here in the reflection of our YouTube panel thing, asking about what that is. That is the flag that the Brazilian fans made for me when I got down to Sao Paulo a couple years ago, and they had a big meetup, get together, Packers Brazil and Cheesehead TV in the house together, and talk about laying out the red carpet. I had such a great night, and they made a Cheesehead TV flag, which I hang right next to my desk here. It's off camera. You can't see it except in the reflection here that especially you can see on days like this where I've got the fan going. So it's not a spirit. It's not an apparition. I had a couple people ask. It's not the ghost of Vince Lombardi coming up into the studio. It's just a cherished memento of my time down there in Brazil a couple years ago. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody chiming in already in the comment section. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for your patience yesterday. Sorry for the last second punt on Packers Daily. I had a couple of different work things. I know that sounds weird to say because Cheesehead TV, that's not a job, right? Actually, sometimes it is. And yesterday I had a few things I had to do somewhat last minute. Very exciting things. One thing in particular I may be sharing with you here in a few weeks, but had that happen, had a couple other personal family things kind of tumble into view, so had to punt. Thank you so much for your patience. I'm back today to talk about Sean Ryan, mostly because I just got done talking to Dusty Evely. Great conversation about the Packers offense, where it could be headed, where we think it might be headed in 2026. That just dropped here on the channel a little while ago, like an hour or so ago. Please make sure you check that out. I love talking ball with Dusty. Always great to pick his brain about the Packers offense. But we were talking about the offensive line, and you guys know I've talked a lot about the offensive line heading into 2026 and how it is the linchpin, right? Everything they're going to do this year depends on better, more consistent play up front. And that did get me thinking about Sean Ryan and the fact that he was very much thrown into the fire last year. We all remember very rough start to the season there at right guard, to the point where he got benched. And then when Elgton Jenkins goes down in that Philadelphia game, he comes in at center. And that's a position he had repped, of course, in training camp throughout the summer as the backup. That's why he was the next man up. And certainly in the summer, he got a handful of reps here or there. Certainly got some reps in the preseason games, but didn't get a ton of work. Was doing most, obviously, especially once the season started, of his work there at right guard. But yeah, he had to come in, sink or swim, and certainly it was uneven at times. I think as the season progressed, he really settled in nicely in the run game. Pass protection was a hit and miss proposition, let's put it that way. But I will say some of that was due to starting next to a rookie who had repped at tackle all summer and now was thrown in at right guard in Anthony Belton. Some of it was, yes, the inconsistency on the other side with Aaron Banks, plus Banks being in and out of the lineup with injury, etc. But as the year went on, yeah, he found his footing. And it is interesting and kind of great to note as a Packers fan that, yeah, this offseason, this entire offseason program, Ryan has been steadfastly there at center with the ones all offseason long, all throughout OTAs, minicamp, etc., and should get all those reps this summer in training camp. All things, obviously, that he didn't get last year heading into 2025. I think that kind of trial by fire, the back half of last year, is going to do wonders for not just, you know, everything he learned, everything that was on tape that they can rep in practice, things he needs to work on, technique stuff, but also, yeah, the stuff he can do with his line mates, finding a more cohesive groove in some of the concepts and things that they're asked to do as a group. That should all really work off of the experience he gained last year getting thrown to the Wolves, right? Now, it's not magic. Obviously, he's got to do the work. Nothing's automatic. But it should hearten Packers fans to know that he's working from a place where, yes, it's a position that, you know, up until last year, he hadn't played a ton of. But, man, that kind of 6-7-game stretch there at the end of the season is worth its weight in gold, not just for the experience that he got on the field, but just the treasure trove of filmed reps that he and Butkus and Stenovich can go over and continue to build on the positive things he did in 2025. I'm very excited to see him get out there and command that offensive line from the jump in 2026. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see you all. Already got super chats up here. We got Brandy's in the house. Always a good day when Brandy's here. Before I get going to your questions and comments, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at Ticket King. Ticket King has been based in Wisconsin since 1992. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. If you need Packers tickets, use the company based right across from Lambeau Field. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the description of this video or at CheeseheadTV.com. And of course, gotta give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare. Injuries happen, but ThetaCare walk-in orthopedic care helps you recover like a pro. Don't let pain sideline you. With locations in Appleton and Oshkosh, expert care is ready now. No appointment needed. Just walk in. Learn more at thetacare.org/ortho now. ThetaCare, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's on your mind? How are we feeling today? Hope you're staying cool wherever you are. Soder, thank you so much, man. Dusty has inside zone is good data, but does that hold up against playoff teams? Run game is not particularly impressive when they move in weight class. That's a great idea as far as a breakdown goes, but I will say, if he's citing an 80% clip, feels like some of those teams at least would be playoff caliber, right? It's an excellent question for Dusty. I understand what you're saying. I think some of the frustration that you're feeling in particular certainly goes back to that second half of that Bears game in Chicago in the playoffs. I would suspect a lot of the frustrations that you and I both felt coming out of that game is, you know, the inability to run in the second half when they have a lead, et cetera. But I will also note that some of that stuff was RPO driven, and some of the frustrations and problems they had running the ball were just a complete lack of execution up front. That doesn't excuse it, but you talk about play calls and leaning on stuff that you've been successful at. That numbers do bear it out. They have been successful. Now, yes, competition certainly matters. The guys across from you, they get paid too. But when you're, like I said, when you're going at 80% a clip or whatever, I would suggest the weight class, as it were, hasn't mattered a ton. E4, how you doing, man? So you got your heaven, Valhalla, Elysium, etc. Where do the football gods hang out? Ether's above Lambeau? When do the pads come on? No, I believe it's in Lambeau, in around Lambeau, throughout Lambeau. How's that? I think that's how that works. Thanks again, E4. How deep is the Packers bench? I mean, there you can certainly point to the departures this year, whether by trade or by free agency, etc., and say that, yes, they've probably lost some depth. But as a draft and develop program, that does afford other people opportunities, and we'll see them step up. And I will say this. I know I probably sound like a broken record talking about it, but they know a hell of a lot more about the young players on their roster deep down that bench, right, than we do. And that doesn't mean they're 100% right. It doesn't mean that we should blindly follow their way of thinking when it comes to draft and develop. But I will say, for a draft and develop program, part of the gig is knowing when guys are ready to step up, ready for more action, more responsibility, more time on the grass, right? More playing time. That's the job of the coach, the coaching staff, to know, yeah, that guy's ready. So as far as what it looks like from the outside looking in, yes, it does look like they've lost some depth, no question about it. But that does afford a lot of other guys opportunities, and it's up to them to seize that opportunity, without doubt. Joe, what's going on, man? Hope Packers players and coaches were watching the last 35 minutes of the USMNT win for a lesson on finishing out a game despite facing real adversity. Joe, you read my mind. I was thinking that throughout the entirety of the end of that game last night, especially after the red card. And they could have very easily sat back, parked the bus, but they did not. It did take everything inside me not to make a Pochettino LaFleur joke, you know. Definitely not LaFleur-like, definitely not LaFleur there over there on the sideline. I know, very different sports, very different approaches, but I did think it, dude. I ain't going to lie. It was certainly top of mind. Welcome to the desert paradise. I don't know about all that colossal. This is a fair question, Carrie. Hello, Nags. Hope you're all geared up for the fourth. I will be. Get Kraft signed before camp, and we'll be as the tight end paid as the first number one tight end in the NFL. Carrie, you got to work on the English there, buddy. Yes, I think he'll get paid before camp. And yes, I think he'll be the highest paid tight end in the league for, you know, probably a few minutes. You guys know how it is. As soon as that happens, somebody's coming up behind you and signs a bigger deal. But I do suspect they'll get it done, maybe not right before camp, but maybe in camp prior to week one. At some point, though, yes, I do think they'll get it done before the season kicks off, and I do think he'll be the highest paid tight end. Now, look, like, you can argue about, you know, guarantees and what that looks like comparative to his peers, but all I really care about is A, getting them locked up, and B, what do the cap hits look like? And I suspect they'll do what they usually do and make sure those initial cap hits are very, very manageable. And, you know, the signing bonus will be the only guaranteed money, and that will be prorated over the life of the deal. That has been their MO. I don't see that changing for Tucker Kraft. And hopefully, again, that does bring down his cap hit for the next year or two. That would be my guess. Hey, Bill, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. It's interesting that we haven't heard anything about the Jacobs investigation. Are you surprised? Honestly, I'm not. After he was released and the, you know, press release stated that there was evidence pursuant to the investigation that they needed to, what was the wording, review, as it were, and the very quick and strong denials, plural, that Jacobs' lawyers put out there almost immediately after the event itself. Not surprised, actually. So that doesn't mean anything in the court of law, obviously. It doesn't mean the investigation isn't still ongoing. We don't know. I believe it was Schneidman, had a records request that was denied because the investigation is still ongoing. So hopefully it doesn't drag out through training camp into the season. Hopefully there's some kind of closure at some point that we're aware of. But yeah, man, I don't know why, but I'm not surprised. Now, that doesn't mean that a headline can't drop tomorrow, right? But yeah, I can't say that I'm sitting here or have been sitting here thinking, God, that's odd. Like, I've just kind of figured, yeah, that makes sense. What else we got here, folks? Pack Daddy trying to get me in trouble here. Nags, I'm someone who doesn't watch a ton of soccer, and I was wondering, was that red card warranted in your opinion? No, absolutely wasn't warranted. Now, you can look at the infraction and say by the letter of the law, yes, it is a red card offense. However, there's a lot of context there, and I know people have already pointed out there have been other players in this tournament who have had similar actions that didn't warrant any kind of card. And that was the frustration, I think, for most U.S. fans last night, is that this ref in particular basically had his hands in his pocket all night long and never produced any yellow cards. And okay, fine, you're going to, quote, let him play. But he goes from not handing a yellow card out for that infraction, which would have been completely understandable. Like, a yellow absolutely was called for. But then to turn around and then do the video review and hand out a red, knowing that not only does it eliminate him from this match, the match that thankfully the, you know, U.S. went on to win, but also takes him out for Monday night. And now there's a report from ESPN that it could keep him out longer. Like, it's way, way overboard. It's pretty absurd, especially, again, when there are other instances in this tournament where that has not been even close to the case as far as handing out reds. So, yeah, I think most U.S. fans have a gripe. Let's say that. Pat, how you doing, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags. Love is in the air this weekend. Evan Williams just got engaged per his Instagram, and looks like you got a certain big time wedding at Madison Square Garden tonight and tomorrow. Whoo! Wow, that took a turn. Congratulations to Evan Williams. Phenomenal. That's great to hear. As for Ms. Swift and her soon to be betrothed, I reserve comment. I have nothing good to say about it. So, my mama told me, if you don't have anything good to say about someone, don't say it. Brandy, I totally hear you here. Nags, how nerve-wracking is it to have everything the players do on and off the field scrutinized by everyone? For this reason alone, I would hate to be an athlete. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, Brandy. Especially in this day and age, right? It's always been hyper focused on the athlete, especially in Green Bay. Those guys know they live in a fishbowl. That existence is not for everybody, right? But now, especially in this day and age with cell phones and everything quickly up on social, all the video, usually in minutes after something happens, whatever. I couldn't do it. It takes a certain type, right? It certainly takes someone who doesn't have a problem having eyes on them all the time. And then every single movement, every utterance, everything being picked apart, criticized, or outlandishly praised, whatever, you know, it's a tough gig, but that's one of the reasons, one of many, that they are handsomely compensated. You know, that is the give and take, as it were. Soder, reminder from happy hour, Tim has been unimpressed with World Cup officials. Tim is always right. You ain't wrong. Yes. Oh my gosh. Kava, I had the exact same thought. This red card from the ref is like the refs in the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter. Quiet all game and then bam. I couldn't agree more. It made me think of the pass interference call against the Bengals in the Super Bowl against the Rams, where they had let contact go all night. And then late in the fourth, game on the line, they call pass interference on a play that, by the way, wasn't pass interference. Like, talk about making yourself the story. I guess these Brazilian refs, I guess he's a Brazilian ref, because I know there's a couple of Brazilian Packers fans who were in my mentions talking about how terrible he is. He must be watching NFL games, no question. Lieutenant Dan, what's up, man? Yo, Nags, I've been prepping for pool work here at Lieutenant Dan's headquarters. What have I missed this week? Not a ton, Dan. Not a ton. As I put up there on Twitter, we are in the desert of Packers news when the top three stories at PackersNews.com are John Eric Sullivan selling his house, Tucker Kraft complaining about garbage pickup in Green Bay, and what was the third one? Well, that's going to bug me now. Somebody else sold their house. I can't remember who it was. Hold on a second. I'll pick it up here. This is hot news, people. Rasheed Walker sold his Hobart house. Hot times, Lieutenant Dan. Hot times. Don't miss a moment here at Cheesehead TV. Whew. Oh, Brandy. That's a good question. Next, Packers kick return was the only Super Bowl MVP on special teams. Yes, Desmond Howard back in the day. Did Corey hate that as well? I can confirm he did not. In fact, I can confirm he may or may not have jumped into my arms the moment that happened at a house we called Big Blue down there in Winston-Salem. Good memories. 30-year anniversary of the 96 team this season. Hopefully we get them back at Lambeau at some point. That'd be fun. Bill, thanks again, man. It's discouraging that the NFLPA hasn't been loud regarding grass fields during the World Cup. It's interesting. I suspect you're not on Twitter, Bill, because they have been pretty active about this. There have been a bunch of guys speaking up about it on social media. Now, you're right. They haven't done a ton as far as saber rattling or making a case for keeping the grass fields after the World Cup is over or why XYZ should happen for the players themselves, regardless of what the World Cup does, all of that. But they have certainly put it out in the ecosphere, right? And I know JC Treader has talked about it a few times already leading up to the World Cup and then during the World Cup. George Kittle has been pretty vocal about it. He's made some headlines. So, you know, the problem, of course, is they can rattle sabers, talk whatever they want to talk on podcasts, on social, whatever. Doesn't mean a whole lot until they get to the bargaining table and the new CBA gets hammered out, you know, and that ain't going to happen by the end of the World Cup. So I would fully expect World Cup's going to be done. All these fields will go back to the way they were and they'll just have to deal with it. And it sucks, man. It absolutely is a slap in the face to the NFL players when the FIFA can come in and just say, we demand grass and boom, lickety split, it's done. You know, but the players who put their bodies on the line week in and week out for, you know, the owner's profit, they can't get the playing surface they desire. It's pretty terrible. Pretty terrible. No doubt about it. I like it. Bill says, I am not on social media. And Jim responds, smart man. Very, very true. Very, very smart. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.